Welcome to another broadcast of Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails in to dj@artistfirst.com. All past shows can be downloaded free and on demand at the Artist First website. Now let's take an honest look at college football in America today. Here's your hosts, Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Well, we certainly didn't expect what happened yesterday to happen, I doubt. A lot of people did predict some upsets. Dad, you were one of them. But I certainly don't think we thought that games would end up to the extent that they did. What's your take after week eight?
Well, Rock, what caught my eye the most, first of all, was for the first time this year, believe it or not, on our four picks, I picked four out of four. Two easy ones, LSU over Auburn, Alabama over Tennessee. I picked Southern Cal to beat Notre Dame in a close one. And I, for my upset of the week, I picked Michigan State over Wisconsin. However, getting down to the nitty-gritty, 25 top Associated Press teams, four did not play. Six went head-to-head, so you know we had to have three lose.
Right.
Auburn lost, Wisconsin lost, Washington lost. But who would expect number three Oklahoma losing to unranked Texas Tech, unranked Syracuse pummeling West Virginia 49-23, Miami beating number 20 Georgia Tech, and Purdue now 4-3 beat number 3 Illinois, even though they're on the bottom of the list. That was a surprise for me. Now, how about you, Rock? What caught your eye over the weekend?
Well, I don't think in all those games that you mentioned, the one I think that was the biggest stunner was number three Oklahoma going down, and you know, I think one of the things we talk about each week is you know, students at no matter what age, even college students, are sort of creatures of habit, and you know, you're used to as a player getting up for a noon game, and you know what time to get up, and you have a routine to go through, and then if you play a 3:30 game, and even if you play an 8 o'clock game at night, you have a routine to go to. Well, I think it really affected Oklahoma that they had almost an hour and a half storm delay, and they never seemed to get on track. And by the time they did, even in the words of Coach Stoops, it was too little, too late. So I think of all those upsets, Oklahoma was the one that stunned me the most. The other thing is that, you know, first of all, as far as the LSU team, I'm not quite sure what was going through those athletes' heads that were suspended. You know, three players were suspended for that game. Running back Spencer Ware was one of them, and outstanding defensive back Matthew was one of them. And he, you know, those guys were suspended for being tested positive for synthetic marijuana, which incidentally was thought to cause the death of a college athlete last year. That being said, LSU did not skip a beat. Kenny Hilliard came in, and he's a freshman. Their defense held Auburn to 10 points. So, you know, those two games were kind of the things that were stunners. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm going to lead with. How about anything else?
No, nothing spectacular for me, except that I don't understand these young players breaking simple rules.
Right.
They know what to do. They know absolutely without a doubt what not to do.
Right.
And they continue doing it. Bar fights, drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was beating on wives and girlfriends and so forth. They don't stop. I don't understand that.
Yeah. Just it just came out a little bit ago that two players from Montana had to be arrested because they were disorderly last night. One of the things of positive I want to point out, during the Notre Dame-USC game yesterday, when Notre Dame was still in the game and it was early, I think the score was 14-3, and it was third and long. And Notre Dame had a real chance to get back in the ball game. USC was about at midfield. USC threw an out pattern, and outside linebacker for Notre Dame made a nice play on the ball. He didn't do anything special. Actually, the ball wasn't thrown real well. But at the end of the play, he pounded the USC player, and then when he was on the ground, stood over him and taunted him. The officials immediately threw a flag, and I give Brian Kelly a lot of credit. First thing he did was, you could read his lips on the sidelines, called the young man over, and he said, take your helmet off. And he said it twice. And after the young man took his helmet off, he looked at him man-to-man right in the eye and said, you are going to go sit down. Go sit down. And I really, really, really think that sends a strong message to the players at Notre Dame that, you know what, we're going to win or we're going to lose the right way. And then about five plays later, a player for USC was called for unsportsmanlike conduct, and nothing was done. USC ended up winning the game, but in my estimation, I think the Notre Dame program took a bigger step forward with what Brian Kelly did.
You have to gain a lot of respect for a coach that does that, without a doubt.
Yeah. The other thing that I think we need to look at is Stanford, that we, you know, right away, any college football pundit, anybody that talks like we do on a weekly basis, anybody that you hear, any of the reports, as soon as you say the word Stanford, everybody thinks of Andrew Luck, the outstanding quarterback that is probably right now the lead horse in the Heisman race. Yesterday, Stanford ran for 446 yards. That's right, 446 yards. There are some teams that don't run for that in a month. And to have a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, and for you to do that, and I think you're going to talk some more about some of the other undefeated teams, but Stanford's undefeated is going to move up in the polls. And for them to have that kind of well-balanced offensive attack, if they get into position to be in the national championship game or whoever they play in their bowl game, they're going to be a handful.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, without a doubt, we speak of top performers of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
One of my listings in top performers is a Stanford offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, they allowed Andrew Luck to take the day off. And, of course, his day off was 169 yards passing and two touchdowns. But as you said, Stanford rushed for a record 446 yards. You have to give credit to the offensive line for that, without a doubt.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, it was huge, huge news last year. You know, once the regular season got over with and we started getting into late in the bowl season, which is towards the end of the NFL season, all the talk was around Harbaugh and him possibly going to the NFL, which he ended up doing. But, you know, you ask the average or even expert college football fan who the head coach of Stanford is right now, they're not going to know, and some people probably still think it's Harbaugh. And when, in fact, it's Coach David Shaw, he's doing an outstanding job at Stanford. They look to be in position not only to win the Pac-10, but certainly putting themselves in position to be considered for the national championship.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, we got to look at, you know, again, I was one early on that thought Penn State was a little down, but how about Joe Pa and the boys? They're now, with the way things are going, they're now in first place on their half of the Big Ten. You know, a lot of people yesterday during the game were talking about that game last night, the Michigan State-Wisconsin game, possibly them meeting again, but, you know, it's hard to believe, but standing atop their half of the Big Ten is Penn State. And, you know, Joe Pa is he just keeps winning.
Well, you know, hats off to Joe Paterno, you know, for win number 408, placing him in a tie with Eddie Robinson for the most college wins in Division I. So at the beginning of the year, if we told you that Penn State would be where they are now, I wouldn't have believed it, but there they are, and my hat's off again to Joe Paterno.
Yeah. Give me some of your top performers from the week. You got it?
Well, you know, I think without a doubt, you have to go to Kirk Cousins of Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because he was 22 for 31, 290 yards, three touchdowns, and you know, in college history, the second Hail Mary that really, really worked.
Yeah.
You know, Kirk has great persona. He's an outstanding leader, and he's able to survive a pounding. And that's what a good quarterback has to do.
Right.
I like Kellen Moore, Boise State. You know, he didn't hurt his chance for Heisman against a surprising Air Force Academy. Kelly was 23 for 29, 281 yards, three touchdowns for a career 123 touchdowns and 45 career wins. I take my hat off to Kellen Moore. And then again, I got Joe Paterno down, 408 wins. Guy's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and along the lines of the quarterbacks, you know, that you mentioned, Kellen Moore, but you also got to look at the job that Matt Barkley did with USC. You know, he didn't have great numbers for the game, but, you know, you go into a hostile environment in South Bend. It was only the last time they had a night game in South Bend was in the 80s. Matt Barkley's only a junior. It seems like he's been at USC for years simply because he started as a true freshman. But he just was cool and calm. He had no turnovers, no interceptions. He threw three TDs. He was 24 for 35. You know, you just got to take your hats off to that performance, the way, you know, the opening drive, they go right down the field, take the Notre Dame crowd out of it. And, you know, really, USC's only got one loss, and that was to Arizona State on the road. So they're putting themselves in position to be in that Pac-12 championship game. The other quarterback that, you know, we've talked about from week one, the surprise that Clemson is, and Taj Boyd is the same way. You know, Clemson is now in the top of their part of the ACC. They're 5-0, quietly again, 8-0 overall. And Taj Boyd just keeps playing well. You know, he's thrown for almost 2,400 yards already, and he's only a sophomore. So you look at these quarterbacks, as you mentioned, and we've said all year long in the show, you know, if you got a quarterback that's seasoned and that can play and is cool under pressure, you really got to look at that as a positive.
I don't know if you remember, Rock, at the very, very first show of the year, you said, Dad, watch out for Southern California. They're going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they did, and they are.
Yeah.
Before we go much further, you know, we beat on and we praise head coaches but ignore assistants. You know, years ago, I used to read in the paper, the assistant coach of the week. I'd like to point out a couple assistants that did outstanding jobs this week. Scott Schaefer, a defensive coordinator for Syracuse, who held West Virginia to 23 points. West Virginia usually scores 40. And the quarterback, Geno Smith, he was running for his life all night.
Yep,
how about Pat Narduzzi, defensive coordinator for Michigan State? He kept Wisconsin to 17 points for three quarters. And then, of course, that fabulous 14-14 fourth quarter. Wisconsin averaged 50 points a game. They needed 14th in the fourth quarter to score 31. I'm going to mention one more assistant coach. That's Neil Brown from Texas Tech. He had Oklahoma so confused in the first half. They won 41-38. Oklahoma kind of came back in the second half, but they snapped Oklahoma's 39-game home winning streak.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, along the lines, you mentioned Michigan State, you know, by far, this was Russell Wilson's worst game. And actually, you know, this game might have taken him out of the Heisman consideration. You know, we talk all year long that one of the things that the Heisman voters look at is the performance that a guy does in big games. And sure, you know, Russell Wilson had a great game at home against Nebraska. But, you know, when you go on the road, a night game, national television, and you play the way he did, that doesn't bode well. You know, the other thing is you mentioned Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and you got to take your hat off to them again with that win. You know, they were struggling a little bit, and Oklahoma is a very powerful team, and they pretty much took it to them. You know, so you gotta kind of feel good for them, because again, that Oklahoma's got a high-powered team too. So you're right. You know, you got to look at those different coordinators, and you got to give credit to those head coaches for hiring them. You know, and also Mark D'Antonio, head coach of Michigan State, he's a defensive guy, so it's probably bothering him a little bit. You know, to give up a little bit of that defensive say-so and turn it over to Coach Narduzzi, who, you know, a lot of people are going to talk in the next couple years about him possibly being a head coach like his father was.
Yeah, and, you know, it might interest sport fans to know that D'Antonio got his start at Youngstown State being the defensive coordinator for Coach Jim Tressel. And then when Coach Tressel went to Ohio State, he took D'Antonio with him. And ironically, D'Antonio is at Michigan State. His defensive coordinator is Pat Narduzzi. And Pat's father used to be the head coach at Youngstown State.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
There's a lot of that family going on in college football.
Well, and the other thing is that one of Coach Tressel's nephews is on the Michigan State staff also. So, you know, I think he's the special teams coach. So you're right. You know, that proves that there's that close-knit kind of family tie that goes along with college football. Well, hey, we're up against our first break. We're going to take a break right now. Please stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be joined by a special guest, All-American and All-Big Ten from 1997, Marcus Ray from the University of Michigan National Champs. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being all-world. the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Thank you. And as I mentioned before the break, we're thrilled to be joined with Marcus Ray. He was a member of the 1997 National Championship team at the University of Michigan. Marcus, thanks for joining us.
Rocco, thanks for having me, man.
Hey, I got to ask you, you know, you're originally from Columbus, Ohio. Take us through how you ended up at the University of Michigan.
Briefly, it was really a childhood dream. Most of my family really loved Ohio State, but I've always been the kind of person and player that wanted to go a different direction and always went against the grain. And when I was a senior in high school, Ohio State really didn't recruit me as hard as I wanted to be recruited, and I think they took for granted that I was a Buckeye and that I wanted to be a Buckeye, but they flat out told me, hey, we want our Buckeyes to stay in Ohio, but we have a scholarship for you if you want it. It's here. If you don't worry about it. You're not big enough to play fullback, not fast enough to play defensive back. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. I'll go to the school up north and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. And you know what? I heard you say once that one of the things you respected most about Coach Cooper is that later on in your career, I think it was at the end of the 98 game, he did come up to you and almost apologetically, you know, talk to you about he didn't recruit you hard enough and should have. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's actually very accurate. In 98, when Ohio State was winning the ball game, they were kneeling. They were in victory formation, and I was on the left hash close to the Ohio State bench, and a lot of their players were teasing me and, you know, talking a lot of, you know, crap and stuff. But Coach Cooper backed them all, and he called my name. He said, Marcus, come here. And I said, I looked, and I said, no. He said, no, seriously, come here. I said, well, meet me halfway. So we met about the top of the numbers, and we shook hands, we hugged, and he said, I want to apologize for not recruiting you the way I should have. I hate that you your career didn't end the way it was supposed to, but you're a great kid, and if you ever need anything, let me know, and I'm proud of you. And that made it all better, Rocco, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, part of the, you know, you were part of the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, and, you know, these rivalries go in cycles. Obviously, when you were there and in the 90s, you know, Michigan sort of had the upper hand. Lately, Ohio State's had the upper hand. What do you think the rivalry's headed for now?
I think it's kind of hard to say. I think Michigan will probably get the early edge only because I think we have our coach and you guys still have to find yours. And that's the key to the rivalry. I think whoever has their guy in whatever era is the school that is going to have the upper hand. Like you said, when I was there, we had Lloyd, we had Gary Moeller. Michigan had the upper hand. Trestle shows great coach, ran the program. He was Ohio State's guy, 9 out of 10 wins. The ironic thing is, if you go over the last 23 years, probably since 1988, the series is 11-11-1. So I like the fact that I really like the fact that two new coaches get a chance to start from scratch, 0-0, and a new era begins this year.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, one other thing about the rivalry, you know, in 97, you know, it was famous that, you know, you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated blasting David Boston, and then the next year in 98, he kind of taunted you when he scored. Was that personal rivalry, was it that heated, or was that just kind of a heat-of-the-moment thing and you guys are pretty cool now, or was that still pretty heated?
We're actually cool now. I mean, we're both adults, but at the time, that rivalry began when he was in high school and he visited Michigan at the end of 1995, early 96, and he came to our campus and he looked me and Charles Woodson in the face and said, I don't like y'all, I'm going to Ohio State. Sean
wow.
Springs is my best friend. Piss on you. And that's really where the personal beef began. Then in 96, you know, we won the game, but he was a freshman and a non-factor. But 97, in the off season of 97, we actually ran into each other a lot on campus, because me being from Columbus, Charles being here a lot. But that was personal beef, and then it spilled over into the Sean Springs, Charles Woodson beef, and it was a lot of stuff going on off the field, on the field too. But that's really where it was. But today, Dave and I are actually pretty cool. The best part about it, Rocco, is that I find myself signing Sports Illustrated with his signature already on it, so we both mutually agree to sign all of these copies, for better or worse.
That's nice. Dad, you got a question for me?
Well, you know, Marcus, the first thing I want to tell you is that every year we have a dinner here in this area, and we have three or four Ohio State players and three or four Michigan players. And I have to tell you, the camaraderie and the affection and respect each of the teams have for one another is something that's unbelievable. Even though you gentlemen were warriors on the field, as years go by, you become brothers surviving the battle. Does that sound true? That's what I see up on the stage every year.
That's very accurate, Rocco, and you know, the funny thing about it is some of my closest friends are Buckeye football players. D. Miller, Damon Moore, you know, Che Bryant, Pepe Pearson. We're only enemies for 3 hours out of every year. That's it. But for the most part, we all are in recruiting together or the same age, and we actually have a deep mutual love and respect, just as you said, for one another, because you can't choose wrong. Ohio State is a great program. Michigan's a great program. And it's an honor to even wear either uniform. Then to play in a game with such magnitude, you don't have a choice but to develop a deep love and respect for your opponent. But then as a fan, you root for your team. I root for my team. But at the end of the day, really one big family. And a lot of the best Michigan players really came from Ohio. So that's really a lot of deep-rooted Buckeye ties right there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, a big question for you, Marcus. Left on the schedule for the Wolverines is Purdue, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, and Ohio State. Realistically, how do you think they'll do?
I'm going to be honest. I thought if we could have won the Michigan State game, we would have went into the Nebraska game 10-0. I really honestly believe that, and that Michigan State game for Michigan really is a mid-season, midterm exam for toughness, and we failed it. And I said Michigan's either going to be 10-0 or 7-3, and I really think Michigan has to be careful right here. I think Brady Hoke has to be careful because, you know, we have an off week, but Purdue won. They won convincingly today. You have Ohio State that's going to be better by the end of the year. That's your final exam. You know, all those other teams that you named on the road at Iowa, it's going to be tough. At Illinois, Michigan has to be careful. And I think they're going to either go 7-3 going into Nebraska, but I think by the end of the year, Michigan will be 8-4. I think Michigan will be 8-4 going into the final bowl game, but they could easily be 10-2 if they can win on the road, and they prove that they could not, at least in East Lansing in a hostile environment.
Thank you very much. Now, let me ask you one more question. Outside of the Big Ten, what team impresses you the most? Which team do you think is better than most of the rest, or personnel-wise, coaching-wise, performance-wise, what team impresses you the most outside of the Big Ten?
I say the two – well, really there's two teams. I think it's Alabama and LSU. They're the obvious choices. I know Les Miles personally. He was on the staff when I was a freshman at Michigan. The SEC's top two teams have elite talent. They're really two NFL teams out there playing, and they have two great coaches with different styles. But I think Alabama and the LSU, the winner of that game, and if they go on to win an SEC championship, will win the national title. I think that's a different brand of football, but I think week to week, top to bottom, the Big Ten is the most competitive conference. But as far as elite, you got to go with Alabama and LSU. I think Nick Saban has done a great job of building that program. They have the most talented football teams in America, and you win with talent. You just really do. You just got to monitor it, manage it. But those two teams and that game 2 weeks from now is going to be probably what's considered a game of this century so far.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, maybe people don't know, Marcus, you were a college football coach yourself. You coached at Ohio Dominican, which at the time was NAIA, now they're Division II, and then you went on to Central Michigan. Is there a huge, huge difference between a Division II and a Division I athlete, or is it a matter of a rep here on the bench and a second or two here, or what's the true difference, if there is one, between those two levels of athletics?
I think that there is a difference between Division II and Division I-A. I think, and that gapper would be Division I-AA, your Youngstown states, your Indiana states, your Appalachian states. As you saw, Appalachian State was an extremely loaded football team that went in and beat Michigan. But I think there is a lot of talent in Division II. But the biggest thing is that the biggest difference you'll see is in the athleticism. And if there's a kid in Division II that slipped through the cracks, it's probably because he either transferred or got in some trouble, things mm-hmm. like that. But I definitely respect Division II competitive football. There are some great athletes there, and there's some good football. But at the same time, I think Division I is where the elite is, and there is a difference. There's a kid that's at the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, Antonio Brown. He played at Central Michigan when I was coaching there. And you could tell he didn't belong there only because he got into some trouble, whatever, some hardships before he got to Central. But there is a difference. But at the same time, there's some good football that's being played at Division II. And when I look up, London Fletcher came from Division III out of John Carroll. And, right. you know, he's a 13, 14-year NFL vet, just as good as anybody on the field. So it's just a matter of Division II may have more diamonds in the rough, just as Division III. There are some good football players there that just didn't get the same opportunity or that were late bloomers.
Mm-hmm. You have the itch, the aspiration to get back into coaching at all?
I really do, Rocco. I took a year off. I had to make some life changes, and then I also wanted to promote my book. But at the same time, I wanted to pick the right football family, and I think that's key in coaching. And at my age, it's kind of hard to really crack back into it, but I've made enough connections to where I could be on a staff next year. I really don't want to do high school anymore. I did 6 years of college. I was a GA at Michigan when I left Ohio Dominican. Then I went to Central. Then I came back to Ohio Dominican. And I really, you know, coaching is my passion. It really is. I love kids. And the thing is, I've learned when you switch schools is that there are kids everywhere, and you fall in love with them. I don't care if they're peewee football, high school, college. Coaching is coaching. But I have learned that there are football coaches, and then there are guys coaching football, and there's a big difference. But I do see myself possibly in 2012 being on the sideline somewhere.
Wow, that's great. Well, now, when you were playing at Michigan, Penn State was just getting into the Big Ten. They were just in maybe 4 or 5 years. And now you see the Big Ten expanding with Nebraska. And sort of the talk is that we're possibly doing more expansion and going to these so-called super conferences. How do you think that's going to play out? Are you in favor of that?
I'm not really in favor of the Big Ten expanding past 12. I think it's going to take away from some of the crossover rivalries and the trophies that we have. Interconference, but I'm really thinking that the Big Ten is actually going to be the benefactor of these conferences merging. I think Nebraska is going to get a wake up call the same way Penn State did. Penn State legitimately in 1994 had better talent than everyone in the conference, and they did go undefeated, and they had a couple good teams since then, but they really got a rude awakening, just like Nebraska did when they played Wisconsin. And Nebraska has to be careful with Michigan State going down there next week, because I think Michigan State will beat them too. But Nebraska has become accustomed to playing in a conference that promotes offense and no defense. And the Big Ten is now football. You run the football and you play defense. But I think with these super conferences, I don't know. I think it's probably more about money than it is about the benefit of the players and the university. I think it's just more of an NCAA move. They're okaying everything for these super conferences. You get 8 teams on each side. And mm-hmm. And I really see it. I don't think no one's talking about it, but I really see them going past the 12-game season with all these super conferences.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned defense. You know, when you were at Michigan, you guys had a nice run there, and you had a balanced offense. You know, Brian Greasy, you guys had some talented receivers. But I'll tell you what, you guys your defense was very, very solid, and you went up against some great guys. And, you know, I was watching NFL today, and Charles Woodson still in the league playing and making some plays. I mean, talk a little bit about that great defense you were on.
I looked back one day, and I counted the guys from that defense that were on scholarship that played in the NFL, and there were probably about 17 guys. And when I looked at the complete roster, we had 35 or 36 guys that actually made an NFL roster out of 85 scholarships eventually when their time was up in college. And I think that's where Michigan has dropped off. They don't have that type of talent. You know, that NFL talent year in and year out made Michigan, Michigan. We had a great bunch. Charles Woodson's career was dormant about 6 or 7 years ago, playing for Oakland. Then he got a second chance to breathe some life into his career at Green Bay, and he's doubled all of his stats in 6 years than anywhere close of any plays he made in 8 years in Oakland. And then I look at Tom Brady, who was a backup. Tom Brady, and that's the inside joke with Brady, the guys that played at Michigan, we call him the backup. And that's been his motivation since day one. And he told me before he left, I'll be the greatest you've ever seen. And
wow.
It's just one of those things where Michigan, at the time, we recruited year in and year out. And that defense was special. Greg Madison, the current defensive coordinator today, was the coordinator 95 and 96. He trained the pups. So regardless of who our coordinator was going to be in 97, we were going to win it. And I think Michigan made a deep, deep commitment to recruiting, especially on defense, because our offense had one job, protect the lead, okay, protect the lead and score quick if we're down. That's all we asked our offense to do, and just Brian Greasy managed the game, and we just played field position. Kind of we were a trestle ball team. It was defense, mm-hmm. field position, and then make the other team pay for their mistakes.
Yeah. Now, when you were there, obviously, you know, just like at Ohio State when Coach Hayes had an office in the facility, Coach Schembechler had an office. What was it like to be around him or when he would come around? You know, guys like that, like Coach Schembechler, Coach Hayes, Coach Bear Bryant, those guys had an aura about them. What was it like for you being around legendary Bo Schembechler?
It was an iconic experience. It's funny because he never called me Marcus, never called me Ray. He would call me Columbus. He was, mm-hmm. hey, Columbus, what are you doing? And so whenever we were getting ready to go play Ohio State in particular, like 96 when we went down to Columbus, he pulled me in his office every day that week of practice. He's like, you're the only guy on this roster who's, you know, really from Columbus that understands what it means to play in this game, and especially to be considered a traitor or how important it is. But Bo's presence was always felt. I mean, his office was right next to Lloyd's. But Bo actually stayed out of the football piece. He probably mentored Lloyd more from a guidance standpoint and, mm-hmm. you know, how to run a program, how to develop young leaders. But he stayed away from the X's and O's, but his presence was felt. And he probably spoke to us once or twice a season. And we always respected him, but he just wanted to see his brand be improved. He really was a stickler for improving Michigan and not changing what he had built and changing the reason why he came there in 1969.
Wow. And finally, one last question. I know you mentioned earlier about your book, Rays of Light. It says Volume 1, so tell us about your book, and because it has Volume 1, are we to expect more volumes?
Yeah, this is going to be a lifetime series. It's really an inspirational quote book. And it's full of wordplay, idioms, and puns, a lot of life inspirations. And it's not a football book. It's not a religious book. I originated a lot of my own quotes from my personal experience. And I think I found a way to connect life's experiences with life in general. And what I mean by that, to give you an example, if you cut off my left side, I'll still be all right. I'll be all right. And if you lose something in life, you know, I went through a divorce. I lost my NFL career, but I realized that, you know, when you lose something, you got to pick up the pieces of whatever's left and keep rolling. And if you drive down the highway of life the way you drive down a highway in life, then there'll be less life accidents because you're trying to get from point A to point B. You need to stay in your lane, self-preservation. But there's like 100 quotes in there. It's on Amazon.com. It's also, you can also order it by calling my publishing company, 734-645-9618. Or you can order it on PayPal, mray29@gmail.com. But it's a very inspirational quote book. I've spoken to adult prisons, criminal centers, high schools, conventions, touring the country right now, so it's actually going pretty well, but it is going to be a lifetime series, so I'll send you to volume 15 or 20 someday, hopefully, but volume 2 will be out next summer, but I'm also going to release 1997, The Making of a Champion, and I'm going to describe our championship run from a player's perspective.
Marcus, for the average listener who had to scramble for a pencil and piece of paper, give us that phone number again,
734-645-9618.
Okay.
Yeah, and what we're going to do is Marcus will send us the link, and we'll put that information right on the Artist First website. And I read somewhere, Marcus, is it accurate that if requested, you'll sign the copy for anybody?
Every copy of Rays of Light Volume 1 is autographed. That's the number one reason I didn't put it in the stores. And whenever you order it on Amazon, I just use Amazon to advertise, and then I'm the one that ships it out. So I actually personalize it. If you want Go Bucks, I'll put it in there. If you want Go Blue, if you want whatever you want, I'll personalize it for you, nothing extra.
Great. And what we're going to do, as I said, we'll put your link on. And okay, could you give me that link again, the coach, the 29? What was that link?
Oh, my personal email, which you can use PayPal to order Rays of Light, is mray29@gmail.com. And if you want to search Rays of Light on Amazon, and actually there's a 3 or 4 page excerpt where you can sample some of my quotes and really see my thought process, go to Amazon.com and search Rays of Light Volume 1, and then they have a look inside sample page read. So you can call me directly, you can order through PayPal, or you can order on Amazon, and I'm the one that signs and ships them out.
Well, Marcus, it's been a thrill having you. You know, we go back a little bit because I got to tell people that Marcus was an influence on my son who was at Ohio Dominican, and he's a great, great guy, played at Michigan, still in Columbus, as you heard from our interview, just a fabulous person, has some faith. It has a relationship with people that is going to last forever. And Marcus, my dad and I can't thank you enough for helping us out and being on the show. You're a great person, and we thank you again.
Marcus, you're the epitome of being a gentleman. And Rocco and Rocco have always loved you, and we still do, and we wish you the best of luck. But I'm going to keep in touch with you.
Hey, I love you guys, too. I really respect you guys' show. Thanks for thinking enough of me and having me on. And I tell you guys what, man, you're like extended family to me. I can't wait to see you guys and tailgate again and have a good time, man. I love you guys as family.
God bless you. God bless
Thanks
you,
again. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back for the last 10 or 15 minutes of the show. Stay tuned.
Pentek USA Electronic Percussion. American made and known around the world for durability, customer service, and free lifetime technical support. Call Pentek and talk to real people in South Carolina, USA. 800-445-0506. Ask Pentek if they can ship your order same day. Mention Artist First and get a 10% discount on orders placed direct to Pentek USA.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Well, we want to again thank Marcus Ray for joining us, and what we want to do is take the last couple minutes, and as we always do in our last segment, talk about the big games for next week. You know, Dad, certainly as we look back on last week's show, we you know, probably looked at some games that we thought were sort of maybe even in the tail end of big games, and they turned out to be upsets, so we never know really what we're talking about as far as are we looking forward to true upsets. And let's first look at Michigan State traveling to Nebraska. Now, they're coming off that huge emotional upset of Wisconsin. How do you think they're going to do going into Nebraska for the first time?
Well, if you look at the sidelines when you watch Michigan State play, there's no panic. There's no excitement. D'Antonio has a calmness about him that is contagious to his players. Okay, Michigan State beat Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin. Nebraska just beat Minnesota 41-14. And what I have to say about that game is welcome Bo Pelini to the Big Ten. It's going to be too much Kirk Cousins. I think number 9 Michigan State is going to beat number 13 Nebraska.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's going to be close, and here's why. Nebraska gave up 27 points to an Ohio State team that had no business scoring 27 points against them. An Ohio State offense that's a little sluggish this year picked it up last week against Illinois. I think for that reason, I agree with you. I think early on, emotion's going to play a big part in it, much like it did yesterday. You know, you got to look at Michigan State also, you know, much like Ohio State. Michigan State has a good defense. Ohio State for three quarters had Nebraska bottled up. Michigan State right now is 7th in the country in scoring defense, so I think Michigan State goes down there and wins. Like I said, I think emotional, you know, it's going to be there for Nebraska early, but I think Michigan State wins that. Again, we've talked all year, quarterbacks, you know, I think Cousins makes a big difference, as you mentioned. Next, now this game looks a lot bigger than it did a week ago, because I never thought I'd be saying this, but a one-loss Oklahoma team travels to play Kansas State. How do you see that playing out?
Well, Oklahoma had a great game at home against Texas. They were preseason number 1. Listen to this. Kansas State preseason was ranked 85th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody notices they're 7-0.
Right.
You know, last year, Coach Turner Gill was 3-9. At the end of next week, this year, he's going to be 8-0. Kansas State is going to beat Oklahoma.
All righty. Well, let's look then next at Clemson playing Georgia Tech. What do you think about that?
Well, that's not even a toss-up. Clemson has scored 325 points this year. They're a machine. This past week, they had 5 touchdowns just by air. Another high-scoring Clemson team, and it'll be a big win for the Tigers. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, again, being on Georgia Tech's home field, I think it's going to be a little bit too much for them. I think emotional play that early, but I think Clemson, you know, who, again, I've been asking all year how good Clemson is, and they just keep proving me that they're pretty good. I think they go into Georgia Tech and win. How about Wisconsin traveling to Ohio State again? This is a game that looms a little bit bigger for Wisconsin. Sort of the luster off of them being a team that I thought was going to end up undefeated. Do you think Ohio State has a chance of pulling a second straight upset of Wisconsin?
Well, Wisconsin's going into the shoe angry, Rock. On the banks of the Olentangy, there's going to be World War III. As you know, Wisconsin lost to Michigan State by inches, inches. If they had to go in overtime, I think Wisconsin would have beat them. Now, Ohio State has been improving, but this weekend will be the double H, homecoming and heartbreak. Wisconsin mm-hmm. will beat Ohio State.
Okay. How about now, again, a game that looks a little bigger than maybe it did a couple weeks ago. But, you know, as you mentioned, I've been kind of blowing USC's horn all year. Stanford has to travel to the Rose Bowl to play USC. What do you think USC has a chance?
No. Following Stanford's offensive ground game against Washington and possible Heisman winner Andrew Luck, the USC defensive coordinator is going to get very little sleep this week. You know, all year he's been thinking, how am I going to defend against Luck? How am I going to defend against Andrew Luck? Now he looks up. You got a team that ran the ball over 400 yards. Luck threw over 100 yards. How mm-hmm. do you defend against that? So
yeah.
I think USC will be the underdog. I think USC will lose. Stanford will win. And I wouldn't be surprised if they won big.
Well, I agree with you that they're going to win. I just think for some reason USC's been playing pretty well. I think they have. Their defense is improving. You know, being a home game, one of the things that bothers me about both USC and UCLA, they could be top-ranked teams, and it seems like the people out in L.A. think they have better things to do, so it's one of those things. But I certainly think USC could stay close, but I agree with you. I think it's too much luck, no pun intended, for Stanford. Well, hey, Dad, thanks again for all your insight. That brings a close to this week's show. Again, we want to thank Marcus Ray for his great insight, and you can grab his book. We're going to put up a link for that, and we will talk to you next week as we give review to another week of college football. So everybody have a great week, and thanks again for joining us.
You're listening to Artists First World Radio. A happy Sunday evening coming up after the CBS News. It's High School Football America with Jeff Fisher, one of the most fastest growing sports programs on Wi-Fi radio. It's Jeff Fisher's High School Football America, where he talks with the top high school players. And these kids are the guys that you're going to be talking about next year on the college programs. Following that, it's the National High School Coaches Association Sports Hour. Two more hours of amateur sports coming your way on the Artists First Radio Network.